I'd like to put something forward to class. You know, we the church decided to drop Brother Lynch as support, and of course we church contacted him many times, and he never did contact us back. So we dropped him as far as somebody we're supporting. Now, we had $50 each month in this class that was going to him. And I would like to propose to the class that we take that $50 instead of just dropping it off, that we put it into a special account for special needs missionaries that come up until the Lord shows us, you know, someplace, you know, to put it. There's a lot of stuff that comes up, Rock of Ages and different ones, you know, and we can have the money there in that, in the account for them. If anybody's got anything else they'd like to say about it, maybe a different idea, I'll open it up to you right now. Okay, if there's any, if you're in agreement with what I just said, can I get a second? Okay, all those in favor? Okay. All right. Let's go on then. Take your Bibles and turn to back to Judges. We're going to do a short review and look at a couple things here in Judges chapter 8. We'll begin there. I kind of tried to bring it to our attention last week about in this warfare that we're in, the some of the problems of being successful, and we looked at, of course, we looked a good while at Gideon, and Gideon, after he had did what God had told him to do, then he. After he was successful in doing all that God had him to do, then he took it upon himself to do a few things. And we know how he collected the gold. You find that in chapters 8 of all the fallen men of Midian took their earrings and their jewelry and all this stuff, and he took it. And it says, the Bible said he made an ephod thereof, and it said his thing became a snare unto Gideon. And when it said it made a snare unto the Gideon, it wasn't just talking about him personally. It's talking about his household. It's talking about all those who came out of Gideon, out of his loins that followed after. And this thing became a snare unto Gideon. And it said that in 27, and thus would Midian subdue before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Zerubbabel, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house, and Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. Now, that's a problem there, too. Not only now is he took it on himself, and you can look at it every time you see a man multiplying wives, he comes all kinds of problems. I mean, ain't one wife enough trouble? why in the world? I mean, you know, I don't understand it. I really don't. And Gideon had 70 sons in his body, begetting he had many wives, and his concubine that was in Shechem, she had a son, which he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age. And as soon as he died, what happened? The children went whoring. He says, the children of Israel remember not the Lord, but they went whoring after Baalim and made Baal Berith their god. Now, any time, it's like a preacher was talking about, probably the biggest, the most dominant idol that's in this country today, everybody sees him when they go to the mirror. One thing you'll find every time you read in through this book, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. You're going to see that a lot more through the end of this book. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And it really, under Samson, you really start seeing that phrase a lot after you get to Samson as a judge. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But here, that's what he had done. He didn't ask God's opinion about setting up that ephod. He just did it. And it said, and all of Israel went whoring after it. They had left the true God now and given their hearts and minds, and they had made an idol out of this thing, in a way, because they were doing it their way. They were worshiping God in their own way. Oh, they knew his name, but they weren't honoring his name, because if they had, they did what God told them to do. And that happens in church after church. It's a thing that we know of as what? Apostasy. Apostasy. It's when they keep on saying they're serving the same God, but they're not. They're actually worshiping themselves because they're doing things their way. They're doing it their way. Not doing it God's way. They're doing it their way. And it won't be long, you know. For example, one of the things that happens, I can think of several churches, you know. I know good well John Wesley didn't start off to have a religion named after him. Martin Luther, different one. But what happened? People began to uplift a man or a way or a tradition or a philosophy, and then it becomes their God. And it's the way they go. We got to be wary of this. And he went down here, and rather than taking and teaching his family, you know, the good word of God, he allowed this whorish religion to propagate. And then his sons, then, hey, they went after Baal. They had already left God in their hearts, doing it their way. And now they have left, and they've lifted up this old god of Baal. There must have been something in that religion that they liked. And I'm going to tell you what a lot of it was. A lot of it had to do with women. You can look at almost every cult of this time that was in the Bible. A lot of it had to do with women. I mean, you went into Corinth, you know, and there they said that the temple priestesses of their false gods, you know, walked the streets, and they had things on their sandals so you'd know what they were, so you could find where they were. And they were temple prostitutes. That's what they were. They raised money for the temple, and that was their way of worshiping God, was through fornication and sexual immorality. And I think it had a lot to do with why they went back to Baal. There was a lot of that kind of stuff that went on in that religion. You remember when the children of Israel, the Midianitish women, when they came down and they led, when they was in the wilderness, and Bo Phinehas said, hey, they brought that harlot in there. She was a princess. And buddy, and he saw her, you know, with that prince of Israel, and he took her into her tent, and he went after them, buddy, and he took them out. Why? Because they had went a whoring. They were going a whoring after their gods. And you find this over and over again. And here you see this man, he's multiplied wives. And now you don't think their sons notice this? You know, hey, what's your mama's name? Hey, what's your daddy's name? Where your daddy live? Who you live with? Who you stay with? Huh? Well, you know, we grin because we know about that. But let me tell you something. It's that way. I don't care. Black, white, green, yellow, purple. In this country today, our families is ripped apart, torn apart. And why is that? Well, men are going to whoring. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it is a big problem. It's a big problem, and the devil is using it against us. Hey, and I know we're all older in here, but ain't none of you men dead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, ain't none of you men dead. The same things that tempted you in your youth will tempt you today.
Amen.
You might not physically go after it, but it can sure get in your mind. And a man thinketh in his heart. You know? Yeah, you don't have to lay down with a woman to be committing adultery.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't try to turn this thing off, but
no, it's no problem.
I can see it right now.
But you know, and that's something we all need to be aware of and be careful of, because, buddy, it's everywhere. Everywhere you go, I mean, this world is being tempted with this thing of lust, of physical lust. What was meant to be beautiful has now been made, it's been degraded. The kind of, hey, you wouldn't be, some of you, if you went to, you go to the public schools and listen to the way junior high students speak, you'd say, what in the world? Where's the soap at? Huh? Where's the soap at?
That's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah, where's the paddles at?
Yeah,
where's the detention at? Where's the expulsion at? I mean, my wife tell you, you send the kids to the office, you know what they do? They send them down there and give them a piece of candy.
That's right. My wife sent one the other day, the same thing. He was in there tearing up the... turning over tables and everything. So called the principal in. The principal come in and said, you come with me. And he took him and went down there, gave him candy, settled him down a little bit, and then was back again.
Yeah. Good discipline there, ain't it?
Like I said, your wife knows what it is. And it's I don't understand it, Dave. It's just the government has took the discipline out of families today. You whip your kid, and the kid says, "Hey, they have fucked up."
Well, you can thank. I tell you how you can thank for that. You can thank us for that, because we didn't do nothing a long time ago. Ain't no need to talk about what the government's done. Hey, the government is other people. It's other people. I didn't say it's by the people or for the people anymore, but it's other people. It's coming out. Of what we've raised.
Took one woman.
Yeah.
To take the prayer out of school.
Oh, yeah. And why? Why? She didn't take it out.
Because the men, all the churches and the churches just didn't stand up for it.
Yeah. They didn't do nothing.
Didn't do a thing.
Yeah.
Of course, we sat back and we hollered about it.
And the world's going to hell, and we ain't doing that much about that either.
Don't know much about today.
Yeah, and I'm not out to criticize or put people down, but you know, this is facts. This is what's happened, and that's what's going on, and that's why we got to have revival. And it ain't going to start. You can't start revival. Revival ain't going to start, you know, with our government. You're not going to see him. Hey, the only thing that can turn the heart of the government is the Lord God Almighty, and the only thing that's going to get God to do that is when His people get right. If my people, which are called by my name.
You know, I was going over that the other day, going out in visitations and everything. We meet a lot of saved Christian people, you know, a lot of them in church, a lot of them over here. But we have that tag that's been put on us as the silent majority. And that's our problem. We are silent.
Yeah, we're silent. That's right. Bible says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Yeah,
yeah there, you're right. There's the problem. We're too quiet.
Yeah, we're the silent majority.
Yeah, but, you know, like the priests say all the time, though, you go to a ball game, you know, I mean, I bet them Christians that went to see Virginia Tech win, you know, the national championship, I bet they were hollering all over the place. And the only reason why I know that, I asked somebody, is that thing over yet? Yeah, I said, well, who won it? They said Virginia. Or Virginia won it. Virginia State, I'm sorry. Or whichever one of those Virginia colleges it was. But anyway, you know, you're right. We're a silent majority. That's not the way we ought to be. We ought to be allowed. I'm not saying we ought to all jump in the government that would make a change either. I still say the only thing that make a change is God Almighty.
Amen.
And if we can, you know, we need to have His ear. And if we're going to have His ear, He's got to have our ear. When we listen to what He says and do what He says.
We watched Him save three last Thursday night.
Huh?
We watched Him save three.
Well, praise God. Yeah. Praise God for that.
Amen.
You know, that's good. That's good. You know, and I guess over the years I've seen Him save thousands. But I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're at, though. I don't see them much making a difference. It's a silent majority again. I'm saved. That's what matters, right? Well, I'm not being critical. I'm all for it. I think we ought to all try to see people saved every week. Sure it is. Yeah, we don't have to wax worse and worse. The ungodly's going to wax worse and worse. If God's people's going to wax worse and worse, how awful is that? It don't have to be that way. Done the first thing yet. That's right. You ain't did the first thing yet, and you want to tell me what I need to do with everything. Yeah. Exactly right. I said, when you learn to obey God, then you can tell me how I'm not obeying God. That's exactly what I told him, too.
Well, what he was talking about, he said, going to church, he said, it's just like being in the world. I said, well, that's the problem, too. You got to keep the world out of church. People, let me share this. Preach about it one time. Recognize the lady up there and come find out she's a lesbian. And he told us, ma'am, said, we've been to church a few times where we go. He said, now, I'm not led to preach against you, but if I'm led by God to preach this book about that wrong lifestyle, I'm going to do it. And she said, well, I appreciate you saying that. The whole point was that she was a Christian, could hear the truth.
That's what is needed. Well, hey, I know what the Bible says about judging. We need to judge righteous judgment. We know that's sin. We know that's destructive. But it ain't my place to judge her. She's got one judge, even God. But I'm to judge that, what people are doing, and I'm to speak out against it. I don't care if the preacher is doing it. I don't care if I'm doing it. I don't care who in this class may be doing it. It's got to be preached. You know what's a wonderful thing? All the promises in Christ is yea. Man, if we were a bunch of doers, we wouldn't have to worry about the things we're not supposed to do. If we would do what Christ said and do all the things as yea, you ain't going to have time to do the nays. I mean, if we would just do it. Because in doing the yeas, you're not doing the nays, you know? And that's what we need to tell people. God ain't out here to tell them what not to do. He's out here to tell them what He's done for them and what they could have and enjoy in Him. We know that the world's going to fall apart and go to hell, but what about God's people? See, that's what He did. He went out here and He didn't teach them the yays. And now His sons, look what's happened. He's had wives, they watched Him, and that now the family, is it together? Heck no! We're enmity. Like a preacher said, you have a mama, daddy, a die, and they got a little bit of stuff, and what do the kids do? A lot of them. They fight over it. Well, something ain't right there. Somebody didn't teach him youngin' something along the way. More blessed to give than receive. So they're not going to be blessed. They're under a curse, and they're being cursed. Their life is cursed. And that's what happens here. This man, he didn't teach his youngins how to serve God the way that the Bible said to serve God. He didn't raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He'd been successful. They were at peace. There wasn't no problems going on. He thought everything was hunky-dory. And after he left, immediately, his children fell off and went chasing after their own ways and their own gods and becoming their own gods. And you find this Abimelech ends up murdering his brothers. Had them all murdered. One of them escapes and reads the curses out that was against them. And I love that story where the trees, look for a king to be over them, Because that's what they did. They went out to find a king to be over them. He said, have you indeed chose a good king? Or did you choose a bramble? He said, you chose a bramble. And fire is going to come out of that bramble and it's going to destroy you. And also, he said, that bramble is going to be destroyed as well. And it happened. God Almighty, it wasn't because He read that curse on them that it happened. The reason why it happens, you're going to reap what we sow. Whatever you look at this world and the problems that's in this world, you know what we're seeing? The seed has been sown. I mean, it goes back a long ways. Hey, some of y'all think about being a boy. Some stuff, not everybody in this room was raised up in a good godly home. Some of you was. Praise God for those. But just think back when you was born. Things you sowed. Your wild oats, they say. I never forget my aunt telling me, but I was talking to my cousins about some things that they were involved in. I said, this stuff's going to come back and get you. And my aunt said, well, baby, we all sowed our wild oats. And she's talking about me. Because I was wild. And I sowed a lot of wild oats, she said. See, I'm reaping it right there. See, you done watched my life and found out the things that I was doing wrong, I had done wrong. And come back with it. And she said, we've sown some of our wild oats too, I said, yeah, and guess what? We sowed them, and what happened? They come up. Whatever you sow is going to come up. You can't sow wickedness and get, glory. You can't sow, sin and get righteousness. And this world is sowed to the flesh. And the Bible says, of the flesh, they're going to get what? Corruption. How many would argue that our government's corrupt? It ain't corrupt. They're a bunch of good guys. They're looking after us. They're doing, No. We've sown corruption, and corruption is coming up. We're catching it. And here we know about how Abimelech then, he murders and kills and kills and murders. And then finally, he comes up that day that he had them treat up this big, he had a bunch of people treat up this big old tower. And there's a woman up there, took a flagstone, threw it down and busted his head. He reaped what he sowed. He said, slay me, lest it be said, a woman that took my life. And he died. And you look, and then you can read, several judges come right after. come right after, and falling, they fall right back into sin. I'm not going to read all that and look through that, but it's in after Abimelech, and in chapters 10, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamar, Mount Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamar. After him rose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons, rode on 30 ass colts, and had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Canaan. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years, all the children of Israel that was on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is Gilead. And moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and have served Baalim." Oh, well, how many gods did he name? And the Lord said to the children of Israel, "Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon, from the Philistines and the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites did impress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand? Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more." I hope we ain't come to that place. I wonder if I hope the United States of America isn't at that place. I hope that the churches of this country don't continue to decline and decline and decline and decline, slide off into apostasy. I hope not. I don't think it has to. If we do, it's going to be our choice, because we were indifferent and didn't care. He said, "Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." Well, we know that most people in this country, you know, we serve the gods of gold for the most part. And a man that's got the gold, he makes the law, right? Huh?
Amen.
And that has a tendency. We have that tendency in this country. When elections come, you let a guy promise you, you know, that things will go well in your pocketbook, and that's who most people will vote for. If you got a man that would get up there and stand honest, he said, "Look, we're in financial trouble. I don't know if we can help us out, but we need to start making some right choices, and it might cost you something." How many people do you think will vote for that man? Don't tell me it's going to be, you saying if you get elected, it's going to be harder. Well, it's hard to pay off your debt. How many of you have ever been in debt before? Yeah. Get down there. It's hard to pay it off, isn't it? And it takes something that most people ain't got. You got to stick with it. You might have to pull them little cards out of your pocket. Cut them suckers up. You might not go out to eat. Might have to sit around and eat some pinto beans and taters. Huh? And gravy and biscuits. Huh? Yeah. Well, you say that here, and then we say, "Wow, that ain't bad." You go say it in these kids' classes. You go say it to my grandchildren.
Oh. I'll tell you something good to eat. those rifles in a frying pan and cook them until they like to fall dry, but cook them until they change the color, whether they're tender.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go tell that to our young children. So we, oh man, we're having something special. We're having something special in your lunch today. We have greens.
Mixed greens.
Mixed greens. Okay. Said the children of Israel, said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou in us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together, camped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will fight after the children of Ammon? He shall be hid over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said to him, thou shalt not inherit with our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Did they have the right to do that?
Nope.
No, they did not. Because God said they were to be good to the stranger. They had no right to do what they did to him. That was part of the problem again. People don't know, they didn't know the law. They didn't try to follow God. They did what they thought was right in their own eyes. This boy don't deserve to inherit with us. He's a son of a stranger. He was her half-brother. Things are all messed up nowadays, and that's why. Where this world is today, it's all mixed up. If he'd have done right and not had all these different wives and stuff and all this kind of mess going on, this kind of stuff wouldn't have happened. But anyway, Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. There was gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. I like what it says here. It says vain men. They got a footnote here. It says worthless. I don't know if that was a good. They must have been worth something. So they were there to help him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? Why are you coming to me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. To make a difference, it doesn't. Hey, his brethren didn't think much of him, did he? But he had a testimony, and it, you find that at the beginning. Does anybody remember what it was? He was a man of valor, a mighty man of valor. He had a reputation. He had a reputation. He didn't back down in the fight. He had a reputation that he was valiant in the battle. You know? He had that reputation. He had a reputation that he was a son of a harlot. But above that, when it come right down to the fight, they wanted him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times, church might not see somebody as worth a whole lot. But here's what God said about Jephthah. He was a mighty man of valor. They thrust him out, but Jephthah said unto them, If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness against us if we do not according to thy words. And Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messenger of Jephthah, because Israel have took away my land. And when they have come up out of Egypt, from Arnon, even to Jabbok, and unto Jordan, now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. And Jephthah sent messengers again to the king of the children of Ammon. He said to him, thus said Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness into the Red Sea, we came to Kadesh. And Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. In like manner, they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. And when they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into thy place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast, but Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people to the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites from Arnon even to Jabbok, and from the wilderness even into Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel had dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whosoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? And while Israel dwelt in Heshbon, her towns, and in her towns and all her cities that be along the coast of Arnon, 300 years, why therefore did you not recover them within that time? Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. And the Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow. And we need to be careful about what we vow. Thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand. Then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And so Jephthah passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. I don't think the Lord delivered him in his hands because of that vow. I don't. I think he was going to do it anyway. But that vow ended up getting him in some hurt. We need to be careful what we... If we're going to make a vow to the Lord, let it be according to his word. Not according to your mind or according to your heart. I think there's some things we ought to vow God, but let it be according to his word. I've heard of people before, man, they'll get all excited, you know, and or they're taking up pledges, you know, against something, and people will say, well, I pledge my house to take care of it. And they thought it would be redeemed.
and they didn't raise enough money to redeem it. And they had promised God their house. They promised the church and God their house. I mean, I've heard of this more than one case where people make vows to give God stuff that didn't really ask what. In other words, if you're going to vow something, you ought to tell God about it. You know? You better be sure it's what God wants you to do. I'm not too sure that God wanted him to offer his daughter as a burnt offering to you. But that's what ended up happening.
I've heard that explained away.
Oh, yeah, I have too. I've heard it explained away. I, matter of fact, I researched that as good as I could for everything having to do with redemption. And I went and I looked, but the Bible says that anything that was given by a vow, whether it be man or beast or woman, would surely die. That's what it said. It kind of astounded me. I didn't want to think of it.
I had a preacher one time. He was preaching. He said that.
She went into service at the temple.
No.
Well, that's what both of them say.
But what he said was that she never did get married. And she's a well of virginity.
That's right.
This book says he did what he promised.
Yeah, what he said. That's what it said.
And God didn't look for
that. And I looked, I tried, because you can redeem a vow. You can redeem a vow. But I looked at it. I looked at it as hard as I could. Now, I honestly don't think God wanted that at all. Matter of fact, he went over and over and he said, if I ever ask you to do this, to offer your children, because they were taking a sacrifice of their children to Moloch and different ones. So. And I ain't saying that he did that. I don't know. I can't see God, I can't see that happening, but I don't know everything. Well, and God didn't say one word anywhere I can find anything. All I know is what he said. He said that he did that, which he said he would do.
Yeah. Oh.
So you need to be careful about whatever kind of vow you make to God, because you might be falling into something that you wish later you didn't.
And I know when the Lord did Christ, he was sacrificed.
Yeah.
Sacrificed his own son. Hallelujah.
Well, after all this, you know, he reigned for a certain period, and then he goes over again others. I've opened the mouth of the Lord. He said, I cannot go back. And that's in 36. He said to him, my father, if thou hast opened my mouth of the Lord, do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even to the children of Ammon, saying to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me go along 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains, bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. He said, go, and he sent her away 2 months. She went with her companions, bewailed her virginity upon the mountain. It came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was the custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. And then it talks about the men of Ephraim gathered together, and they come out against Jephthah because he didn't call them to the fight. And he said, I called y'all. Y'all just didn't come. He said, you didn't deliver me out of the hands of this. And they ended up, look what ends up happening now. Brethren against brethren fighting. Jealousy. It all had to do with one thing. They didn't like him. He was a stranger. Then it says, and there was a great slaughter of the people. Even after God gave them this wonderful victory, they're so stubborn, they are so jealous, they ended up, you know, killing one another. And God gave them over to the hands of Jephthah. And chapter 13 said, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And it gives a list of those there who judged Israel after Jephthah, and most of them didn't govern very long. None of them governed even for 10 years before they died. I don't know what was going on, why before it was 20-some, 30-some years, but now it's down to 7-6 years, and then they're dying for whatever the reason. But then we're going to talk about a man by the name of Samson. Samson, man, he's a character, isn't he?
Yep.
There was a man that had so much going for him, so much might, so much power, a judge, and he just waited on the flesh. Man, he's a man after... Not like David, a man after God's own heart. He was a man after his own flesh. He served his flesh. Nazarite, he broke every vow you can think of. Read that this week. Think a little bit about it. He wasn't supposed to eat grapes, drink wine. He wasn't supposed to touch any dead thing. But here he had him, getting honey out of the, and taking it home, feeding it to his parents, left them unclean. He didn't do what the law required after touching a dead animal. And he carried that honey back, gave it to his parents, and didn't tell them what he'd done. And they were unclean, according to the law. Buried outside the family, went down to, I know the Bible said this was of the Lord, but he had a choice in the matter. God didn't make him go down there and do that. I believe he could have sought God's face if he would have with his whole heart, and God could have gave him a decisive victory, but he didn't do it that way. He just lived from one event to the other, one woman to another. And I think he liked his drink. I just think he really liked his drink. Find him all the time passed out in some woman's lap, I think he liked his wine. But he wasn't even supposed to drink wine or any of that. So just read that. Look at what it said. I've heard people tell me time and time, well, God can't use an unclean vessel. I said, well, then who can he use? The only thing that's made us clean is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We look at a man, here he was, a servant of God. He just, one thing after another, he's in disobedience to God. That's no excuse. But God used him. Son of a harlot, God used him. A daughter of Moab, God used her. Ruth. She comes right after that in a mighty way. God will do what God wants to do. He's going to bring about his will, whether we follow his will or not. Day's coming. Judgment's coming. Now we can sit there and say, well, I'm saved. That's all that matters. There's a world out here dying, going to hell. The battle's on. It ain't slow enough for nobody. Satan's like a roaring lion. I heard a friend of mine tell me one time, he said the world's on fire.
It is, but
they put it lower. He said, everybody's trying to spit on it to put it out. The world's on fire. I'll never forget, he was Vietnamese. He was talking about back when the government gave China preferred trade status. He said, China is she's a sleeping tiger. He said, you feed that tiger and then you stop feeding it.